da 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 da.
And welcome back to New Hampshire Today, the weekend edition. Jeff Chittister with you. Hope you had an awesome holiday week. Most of the people were in and out of offices, and of course, we were off the air, the best of. Hope you enjoyed some of those best of series. But now it's time to get back to business. Of course, 2020 is right around the corner, and what 2020 means for us, first, we have to get past New Year's Eve. And as we have done now for 5 years, it's hard to believe we've done this show in one form or another the last 5 years, is to really talk about some of the things you can do to make, one, your New Year's Eve a little bit more enjoyable if you're staying in-house, if you're going to be going ahead and hosting people, how to make it more, let's just say, cost-effective. And I don't mean cheap. What I do mean is that it's easy when you go out into the world and try to say, I want this champagne, I want this sparkling, I want this, and you don't know what they are. You don't know the difference between what they are, how to handle them, and how to really use them for your entertaining. So we thought we would go ahead and do our annual champagne show. Of course, we're pleased to be joined by John Knorr, Professor, Department Chair of Hospitality Culinary Arts, Nashua Community College. And also some of the wines today are being sponsored by Southern Glazier's Wine and Spirits, which is really interesting. As you go, Chef John Knorr, if you go to the liquor store, all the champagnes and sparklings that we're going to be talking about today are available to you at New Hampshire's liquor stores. So we want to make sure we had brands that you could get a hold of and kind of delineate between those. And of course, we appreciate Southern Glazier's for providing many of the champagnes that we're going to talk about today. Chef, how are you doing today?
Doing well, thanks. How are you?
Good. Now, you also brought Happy New Year, too. So you also brought some food in. We're going to talk about pairings beyond the dish that you brought in, but also different types of wine. Now, something you should realize, if you go to jeffchittister.com, if you go over there, if you just type in champagne actually in the search field, you're going to get all our champagne shows. So even champagnes and sparkling wines we've featured in the past, because we have changed it up a little bit from past shows, and we've actually brought in some new ones that we're going to be talking about. But also some of the other recipes that Chef John Knorr provided in the past are very helpful. So if you're going to decide that you want to do something on New Year's Eve, but you also don't want to kill yourself in the process, he's brought some really great recipes that we'll talk about here in a minute. But first, Chef John Knorr, let's talk about some of the differences between the champagnes and sparklings. And we have a lot of different ones in front of us. So let's start first with, and we say there's a scale here, one end to the other end. Let's start with some of the sparklings that we have. Now, the first thing is tell us a little bit about what's the difference between all the terms we hear.
So the first thing that I want to talk about is the levels of sweetness, because that's really affects how people drink champagne and whether they like it or not. And there's actually six levels of sweetness. There's actually seven, but you know the three most common are the ones that you're going to see when you go out to the liquor store, and those are Brut, Extra Dry, and Sec. And there are some other ones, and you can post them up on the notes that I provided.
Sure.
But Brut is the most common, and that's a dry champagne. It does get a little bit drier, but you don't typically see those in retail stores. I mean, there are some out there. Extra Dry is actually sweeter. So some people will say, oh, I want something drier, I'm going to get Extra Dry. That means it's sweet.
Right.
That doesn't really quite make sense.
And that's really important. Well, you're right, because it's just the opposite of what most people think.
Exactly.
And I see so many people either buy an Extra Dry or ask for an Extra Dry, and then when it hits their palate, they're
sweet.
They're sweet, and they get in. So that's the first thing we want you guys to remember, is that when you talk about the Extra Dry, you're actually talking about a level of sweetness that's getting higher.
Yep.
Good.
And then the other one that you're going to see is Sec. And occasionally you'll see demi-sec, but sec means sweet.
Right.
So those are the three most common that you'll see when you go out to the store and, you know, when you're selecting that. And I think today we don't have an extra dry one.
No, we don't.
But that's fairly common if you do go into the liquor store and look and you see that extra dry is on there. But Brut is the kind of the standard bearer. It's the drier of the champagnes.
So, first rule, once again, if you're getting ready to go out, the show airs on Sunday, which means you have time to go ahead and download the sheet that Chef John Knorr provided. So if you're going to go out to the liquor store and you're going to start buying for your New Year's Eve, download that sheet. One, it's really quick and concise and explains each term, and bring it into the liquor store with you. So when you're looking at them, because we're going to talk about price range here in a minute, and we're also going to do some sampling of some of the fine wines. So if we look at Southern Glazier's, they've given us some really nice start off ones right in front of you, John. So talk about each one first, and let's talk about what the difference is with them, because there's some slight differences, and let's talk about some food pairings for these.
So the first few are the Prosecco line, which is okay. An Italian sparkling wine, and in the notes there's the different sparkling wines based on the region. Or country of origin, and Prosecco is a Italian sparkling wine. It became popular about a decade ago, and you're seeing a lot more varieties of them now. They tend to be much more reasonable because they're not made the traditional method. So they're the Charmat method, which is the tank method, which is their second fermented, but the CO2 is developed in a tank, not in a bottle. So
right.
That's the difference, and that's why they tend to be less expensive. So they're still good quality, just not to the level of a traditional method champagne.
So what's the first one over there? So
the Zardetto Brut. So that's a dry Brut, and that's the first one we're trying.
Okay. You want to smell it, guys? Because you're gonna get some sense of potentially how sweet it's going to be, too, from the smell. And then...
And it's a very nice... very nice sparkling wine.
Yeah.
And, you know, I picked this one out of the other ones. The other Prosecco is the Falernari, which is an extra dry, which means it's a little bit sweeter. And we're going to be tasting the appetizers, and I think you want to stay away from the sweeter ones with appetizers. Sweeter ones are great for dessert, but the dry ones are great for dessert, too. I mean, that's the nice thing about champagne.
Now, so a question on really how we roll each one of these out. So we're talking about the Proseccos right now. Is this something of a palate cleanser, too, or would we be careful about that, too?
Because No. So you would really just, you'd be able to have this, and, you know, you could have the Brut if you were having that throughout the night. It would go well with appetizers. You could also have it with the main course and again, with dessert. So, you know, that's the nice thing about sparkling wines. You can actually serve them throughout the entire meal, which is a really nice thing. And there are different sparkling wines so that, you know, as we get into, you know, champagnes and the more traditional methods, there are different styles. So you want to look for that. If you are going to do champagnes throughout an entire meal, or party, you want to look for a couple different styles. They're typically made with Chardonnay and Pinot Noir grape. Those are the most common grapes that are used for sparkling wines. The Blanc de Blanc is 100% Chardonnay, so those are the lighter ones.
Sure.
So if you were planning to use that throughout the meal, you would want to start with the lighter one, and then you would have a cuvée or a blend, and you would have it blended with the Chardonnay or the Pinot Noir grape. That's a little bit more body to it. The Pinot Noir is a red grape, but it's not red. It, you know, they remove the skins, but it does have a little bit more body to it.
Right. So it's going to be a little bit heavier, too. It's going to feel heavier as we go through that. So the first bottle we opened up, but what was that brand name again?
Zardello.
So Zardello runs...
Zardetto.
Thank you. Runs roughly between $12 and $14. So that's, for me, a medium price. Because a lot of times people, and help me correct this a little bit, a lot of times people will go into the liquor store, they'll stand in front of all of them, and all the sparklings tend to be in the same place in the liquor store, and they're lined up by style, too. So people should be aware of that. And they'll look at the most expensive one. I want to impress whoever I'm bringing this bottle to or whoever is going to be coming into, and that's a huge mistake sometimes.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, and we'll talk about champagnes here in a minute, that makes it a little bit, you miss some of the finer wines are out there. So once again, that first one came at us at $12 to $14, available in the liquor store. And the second one over there, what's the difference between that one?
And again, this is the Falernari Prosecco, and this is an extra dry, so it's going to be a little bit sweeter. So if you want to have it for a dessert, if you're going for, you know, something a little bit sweeter, you would go with the extra dry Prosecco. And again, that's I think the price range is about the same.
$10 to $12 again. Perfect.
So if you want to stick with just Proseccos, you know,
perfect.
You could do that, and that would run, you know, you would have something to start, and you could use the Zardetto for appetizers and entree, and then you would finish with the Falernari with the desserts because it has that sweetness to it.
Perfect. And it's not going to confuse the tongue either. So the other bottle in front of you, too, I'm making Jod do all the reading here. The other bottle is, once again, a little higher in range, but it's also a rosé. So let's talk a little bit about rosés. And it's different, too, as we talk about the style that's presented, too. So once again, just to rehash so far, remember that when we talk about champagnes and sparklings, a lot of how they're defined initially are from the region that they're from, and then the grapes, and that typically we just call everything champagne, but that's not true because the French have a copyright on it. So, but there's some style. So talk about a rosé a little bit. So what's that rosé in front of you?
So this is a California. It's Monterey County.
Nice.
It's a Sofia Brut Rosé, so it's a drier rosé. And rosés can be made from any of the three champagne grapes. And if it's made with the Chardonnay, they'll actually add a little bit of red wine into the fermentation, into the wine
sure.
to color it, or they'll leave the skins on if they're using the red grapes, the Pinot Noir or Pinot Noir.
And so when we talk about a rosé, too, so where does that fit? So some of the things when we look at the rosé, too, that they recommend, and here's some great food pairings for rosé. Chicken schnitzel, yeah, I make that every night. but chicken, so you can get a sense here. Creamy risotto. A risotto is one of my favorites. How I usually gauge a restaurant. Enna would be really great about this next recommendation. Chocolate, of course, works really well with that. And, of course, cheese. And then, of course, barbecue. So once again, but this is so when I consider the higher end of the mid range, and I'm talking about a sub $20 bottle, yep. And folks, I don't spend much more than that, except on a couple occasions. This is a $18 to $20 range. So once again, these three, do you see these three being in the same at the same table, or would you be careful about introducing a rosé if you got with the early?
No, and I think the nice thing about rosés is that they're. Because of the color, they tend to be a little bit more festive.
Okay,
you know,
yeah.
When it kind of adds that specialness and, you know, to an event. And rosés are great like that because they are just a little bit different. Very similar when we're talking about a California sparkling wine, whether it's a rosé or a traditional cuvée or like the mums that we have. You know, very similar, but just adds that little bit. The color really adds a little bit of festiveness to the occasion. So it's nice on a New Year's or, you know, a celebration to have a rosé.
Perfect. And the wrapping's gorgeous. I mean,
yeah,
bottle instinctively, people would look at that and go, okay, am I buying a really nice bottle and a crappy wine?
Yeah.
So Sofia is a really good choice, $18 to $20 range. It's a wonderful presentation. And once again, it fits in really well with that as well. So let's move up a little bit, John. And let's talk about some of the other ones. And we're going to actually try them when we eat here in a minute. So there's a couple. There's the Mums, which is a Napa Valley. So I'm going to hand you the bottle so you can talk about it a little bit more. And if I'm interrupting your flow, let me know.
So Mum is a California, and this is the first one that you're actually going to see on the label, something else that you want to look for a quality designation. And it's a method traditional, and that's really important. And that means that it's made in the classical French champagne method. So that's when we talked about the Charmat or tank method, that's the way that the Prosecco is made. That's why price point is a little bit cheaper.
Sure.
But as the price goes up, you're going to see that the traditional method, method champenoise, it's a couple different ways that it's worded. But as long as it's on there, it means that the second fermentation actually occurred in the bottle. So what they do is when they age it, they'll actually cap it. And, you know, put it in racks, and they turn the racks to let the sediment go down. They freeze the neck of the bottle.
Oh, nice.
And that way they can get rid of all the sediment, and then they put the cork in. And at that time is when they add the extra sugar if they are going to sweeten it a little bit more. But it's a lengthy process. It takes a while. It's all done by hand. It's not done by machines. It's not done in a big tank. So there is a price difference when you start talking about traditional method champagnes or sparkling wines.
And so when we talk about a Mums, and another one is a Chandon, which is I consider in that kind of same line
yep.
variation. Once again, these are under $20 bottle of wines. And when we talk about a Mums and a Chandon, these are really good champagne style wines.
Yeah, these are both the Mum that I have here and the Chandon that you mentioned. Are both traditional method California sparkling wines. California makes great wines, and they also make great champagnes. They just can't call them
champagnes. Yeah,
but they're producing it in the same method that they do in Champagne, France. And again, price point is really good. You can really have a really elegant, good bottle, and you know, at a reasonable price, and serve something very nice, you know, to your guests.
So once again, we're talking to Chef John Knorr, professor, department chair, hospitality and culinary arts, Nashville Community College. All the stuff we're talking about right now is online. You can download that. In fact, if you just type in champagne at jeffchittister.com, jeffchittister.com, you'll get all the past shows, too. And then, once again, Southern Glaziers and Wine and Spirits offered some really wonderful wines to start off with. So before I get too much further, because we do want to eat here in Pear, and we're actually going to do that in the second segment because we're almost out of this segment, I want to talk a little bit about things that irk me off about people when they handle champagne. So we're going to probably be drinking the Gruet in the next segment, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that. So I often see people, chef, get ready to make something that is a favorite morning beverage for people. You know what I'm talking about?
The mimosa.
And they will go and they will spend, because we have a classic champagne here that we're going to talk about in the next segment as well. They will go and spend $40 on a bottle and make mimosas out of it, thinking that somehow that the quality of that champagne somehow makes the drink better. Talk to me a little bit about that. Walk people off the cliff on this one.
So mimosas are great. We have them every Christmas morning.
Perfect.
We love them. They're great. We use tangerine juice. So if you really want to get them
nice,
really, a fresh.
That's sharp.
Yeah, it's fantastic. A little bit of Chambord in it to color it as well and give it that raspberry flavor. But mimosas should be made with the medium priced. You don't want to buy really cheap $5, you know, champagne or sparkling wine to make mimosas. You want to stay away from that. Go to the medium price. The Proseccos work really well with them. They blend very well when you're making mimosas, or any of the Cavas that we also will be mentioning as well. You know, that's a Spanish style champagne, and they mix very well. Price point, they're, you know, within that $10 to $15. So you don't want to shortchange your mimosa, but you also don't want to spend $40, like you mentioned.
Right.
A really good bottle of champagne and then mix it with orange juice. It just doesn't make sense.
So you have the orange juice. So what's the taste balance you're going for on this? Because do we go to the extra dry, or do we go something a little bit lighter in our Prosecco or in our finer sparkling wine?
I always use Brut. I mean,
that's
kind of what I like, because you're going to get some sweetness from the orange, or we use tangerine juice. And if you have Chambord as well, you're adding that tends to be a little bit sweet as well. It's the raspberry liqueur. You could do any kind of liqueur, which is nice, but that's adding sweetness as well.
Sure.
So you don't want to put too much sweetness in, so stick with the Brut while you're doing that. It works best when you're making the mimosas.
So when you're having a mimosa too, so what are you pairing with a mimosa? A lot of people, I mean, I hope you eating something with it, folks. It's kind of pitiful sitting there on a Sunday morning drinking mimosas without eating.
Well, no.
No, as the chef would say. No, completely acceptable.
No, I mean, you know, mimosas are great for brunch. You know, when you're having brunch, you know, having a mimosa goes well. It pairs well with eggs. Quiche, anything like that.
Nice.
Ham, it goes well with that.
How about
traditional brunch items.
How about a nice sweet potato goat cheese quiche?
That sounds really good.
It sounds really good.
Did you make it this morning?
Stonehouse Bakery makes it.
Really?
It's one of their featured quiches. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
So there we go. So that works really well. We don't want to get too far away, because we're almost at the end of the segment, because it flies by really quick. So go ahead and summarize before we break, and then next segment we're going to pair it with the food that you made and talk a little bit more about the Cavas and some of the other wines that are out there as well.
Yeah, so, you know, what you really want to look for, one is to determine the sweetness level. You want to stay away from the extra dry or sec if you're talking about appetizers. That's more for the dessert, unless you really like sweet and you want to go sweet. But it works. Food works better with the Bruts, the dry. It complements it much better. The Proseccos, again, are a great price point because they're made not in the traditional method, but in the Charmat method. Which is a second fermentation in the tank, but it's still a quality wine. So you can find a lot of good ones in the Prosecco family, you know, in that $10 to $15 range with that. And then as you move to California, You want to look for either a blend, which is a cuvee, which may have Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. There's also a lot of California sparkling wines that you see that
yes.
are the Blanc de Blancs, which are the 100% Chardonnay. Those are a little bit lighter. So, you know, if you want to start light and work to a heavier cuvee or a blend, you could do that for your main meal.
And the cuvee, the Mumm's is the one I always recommend. It's my favorite. It's stunning. And what were the other three bottles? Just mention that before we take our break.
The Zardetto, which is the Brut Prosecco. We also have the Fulinari Prosecco, which is the extra dry. That's the sweeter one. And then from California, Monterey County, we've got the Sofia Brut Rosé.
Perfect. So what we're going to do is take a break, and then we're going to come back. Chef has mentioned some wonderful appetizers. We're going to talk about champagne, and we're also going to pair his selection of food he brought in with a wine. And we'll all do that next on New Hampshire Today, the Weekend Edition.
On an ocean liner to places I long to see. Well, with my champagne taste in your beer bottle pocket. Don't forget to write me when you get there in your rowboat. When you paddle across the sea without me.
And welcome back to New Hampshire Today, the Weekend Edition. Jeff Chittister with you, Chef John Knorr. Of course, we're doing our yearly, probably one of our more popular shows. We talk about champagne, sparkling wines, and we have to... Well, we have to define that a little bit because the French are a little snooty and they claim the name champagne, but there are some American variations that are actually, if you were to look at the method in which they created, could technically be called a champagne if they were in France. So there's the little nuance about that. But before we get to that, Chef John Knorr, welcome back.
Good to be back.
You know, one of our more popular segments, I want to remind everybody, everything that we are mentioning today, you can go to jeffchittister.com, jeffchittister.com. You'll get the audio of this show, but also download Chef John Knorr's little sheet that talks about the differences of the sparklings and the champagnes. Educate yourself, impress your friends at your party, just blow them away like, holy crap, this guy knows stuff about wine, so we'll drink whatever he says we should drink. But also, when you get ready to go to the liquor store, because we're blessed to live in New Hampshire, when you go to the state liquor store, all the champagnes and sparklings are in the same area. They start from one variation down to the end, so they run in that style. Don't just grab the prettiest, most expensive bottle, because you're gonna miss some really fine wines out there. So before we get to that, Chef, you made some food for us.
Yeah, so I made two appetizers that I thought, you know, one, that they go well with the sparkling, whatever you choose, you know, and they're easy to make. You can make them up ahead of time if you are having a party. The first one is the baked jalapeno popper phyllo cups. So you can buy the phyllo cups in a store. They're really nice. They're completely baked, ready to go. Mm-hmm. All that you're doing is making the filling and popping them in the oven. So it's a combination of Greek yogurt and cream cheese, and then I used pepper jack and cheddar, shredded that and blended that with the yogurt and cream cheese. Took some jalapeno or pickled jalapenos and minced those with a little bit of garlic powder and red pepper flakes to taste. And that was it. It takes about 5 minutes to make. Mm-hmm. Prep time. You can make this up ahead of time. You can actually make this up and freeze it. It freezes really well, and then when you're ready to serve, all that you're going to do is take out a small spoon. If you have a little tiny scoop, a cookie scoop, you could use that. And you're going to fill the cup, bake it in a 350-degree oven for about 12 to 15 minutes until the cheese starts to bubble and they start to brown. And you put them out. They're great hot. I baked them this morning a couple hours ago, and I rewarmed them in the oven here at the radio station, and they still taste great. So they hold up really well, which is a nice thing when you're making appetizers for a party. So these were reheated or heated and then reheated, and they still have a nice crunch to them. They taste good, super easy to make, and you can make a lot. And then you can do some variations, you know, again, the cheese. If you want to get an habanero cheese, make it a little bit spicier.
Sure.
You can do that. If you want to back off on the spice, you could do that as well. So a lot of different things
I like
you
the spice balance here. What did you call these cups again?
They're baked jalapeno popper phyllo cups. So it's like a jalapeno popper that you would get.
Right.
A traditional appetizer you see on restaurant menus.
But it's kind of a twist on it.
Good stuff, huh? Oh, and Jeff is chewing. So the second one I made is a, you know, everyone likes shrimp around, around Christmas and New Year's. And, you know, everybody has shrimp cocktail. So this is a Mexican shrimp cocktail. And so this is a little bit different. So what you do is you make a sauce, and then you toss the shrimp in the sauce. So the sauce is some thinly sliced red onion that I soaked overnight. And I always soak my onions when you're eating them raw overnight in water. It gets rid of that harsh bite.
Relaxes
the
them.
Yeah.
It takes all the stress away from the onion.
And, you know, so I do that because I don't like raw onion. I don't like the flavor. So I like it, you know, when you have raw onion in your recipes, I always soak it, whether it's a gazpacho or, you know, something else that you're doing. Always soak it to get rid of that the harsh bitterness.
Absolutely. And before you go too much further with this recipe, so I have to tell you, you made this for us a couple years ago, and I brought the extra into work. It was like watching dingoes on the plains of Osh. They just, everyone was like, this looks interesting. And then the smell hit them. Yeah. Like they were like, oh, that smells really good. And then they started to eat it. They didn't stop. It was like watching dingoes just go crazy.
Yeah. And again, it's a really simple, easy. And that's, you know, the reason why I picked these two recipes is because they're so easy. This you can make up ahead of time, not too far ahead of time. But you're going to take the red onion, you're going to soak it overnight or at least for a few hours. You're going to take a jalapeno, a fresh jalapeno. You're going to seed it and then finely dice it. You're going to add some cilantro, lime juice, tomato sauce, a little can of tomato sauce, a little bit of ketchup, some orange juice and salt and pepper. And then you're going to toss that sauce with the shrimp. I bought already cooked shrimp. You don't have to go ahead and cook it. It saves time.
Okay.
Especially because you're going to mix it. It's going to work well.
Where do you get your shrimp?
So market basket. You know, and I bought a 41.50, so not too big.
Yeah.
You want something that, you know, you can eat with a fork, kind of a one bite.
Nice.
And then you mix this with the shrimp, the red onion, and then you take an avocado and you dice an avocado and fold that in. So you've got some really nice flavors to it, and it works really well.
Because you're using an avocado, too, you don't want to prepare it too far ahead of time.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that will discolor and kind of...
Well, with the sauce and you've got the acid in there, it's going to hold its color for a while, up to 6 hours ahead of time.
Yeah.
So if you're doing a New Year's Eve party, you can make this in the mid-afternoon.
Perfect.
Put it in the refrigerator and then put it out. For the party.
So, guys, two simple recipes. You've really got to think about using these. The shrimp also brings in the protein and stuff like that. So if you're thinking apps for your entertaining and not a full meal, this is clearly one that you want to think about because, once again, what'd you call the first ones? The cups?
The jalapeno popper. Jalapeno cups.
So that's a good filler as well. Good balance, good protein in that, enough fat to help blend in when you start drinking. Right? And then the shrimp was just absolutely fantastic. Always is, John. And then, so what am I eating? What am I drinking with this? So I'm looking at the cava. The cava I'm more leaning towards. So explain what a cava is for people, because I think sometimes people see that and they're like, oh, okay, what the hell is this?
So a cava is just a Spanish sparkling wine. And again, they range just like the California sparkling wines. They've got the range across from inexpensive to, you know, mid-level, I would say, with most cavas. And cava, what you want to do is look for a traditional method. You want that method champenoise on the label, which means that there's some quality built into it. Cavas are good because they tend to be more inexpensive because Spanish wines have traditionally been a better value.
Yeah.
They're getting more popular, so they're not as good of a value, but they're still a good value. And I think the two cavas that we have, the Debon and the Cristallano, are both kind of in that mid-range that we talked
they
about.
They are. So when you think about those, so once again, those Spanish cavas, so you're looking at a price range from $8 on sale right now up until $13. So the Cristallano is roughly around $8 right now. Higher awards. It's won several international awards. The Debon, I tend to like that a little bit better. So it's a little higher in the price range. It has more of a palate. Like, I do not like my wines overly sweet. I also like the bubbles, and the Daban has a really good bubble base in it as well.
Yeah, and they're both Brut, so they would go well with the spicy food that we had for the recipes that we just did.
Yeah.
The Prosecco,
that I'm slamming down right now.
but the Brut, the Prosecco, all of those would go well because you don't want something too sweet. You want something to balance off the spiciness of the appetizers that you have. And again, both of these, traditional method is on the label for the Cristallano, and the Daban says fermented in a bottle,
right?
Which means that it's the traditional method. So, you know, it's all about the wording, but you just want to make sure that it's done in the bottle. And then you talked about the bubbles. That's the traditional method, allows more bubbles to be generated. When we go back to that tank method, it's kind of like adding CO2 to beer or soda and stuff, where it's not made, and so those bubbles tend to dissipate a lot quicker.
Right.
Where the traditional method, you get smaller, more plentiful bubbles, and that's what you want. I mean, it remains festive. And it tastes better.
Right. In the next segment, we're actually going to talk about champagnes, folks, and we're going to talk about some alternatives for you, champagnes that are actually quite well, and what the difference is, because now we're getting up in price range once again. So as we talk about it, this, of course, we're still drinking the Prosecco. It blended really well with this, and this one was, once again, it's a Brut. And describe once again what a Brut is.
A Brut is a dry, and that's the most common. So when you go to the liquor store, most of the bottles are going to be Bruts. You want to stay away from the extra dry, because the extra dry is actually a little bit sweet. And that's kind of the key thing. And, you know, you mentioned downloading the sheet. It's just one page. It kind of gives you a rundown of what you are looking for. It also has the countries of origin as well.
Right.
So if you're looking for a specific country. You could do that as well.
And I think the thing is, too, so this is the Zardetto. It's a Brut, a nice-looking bottle. The taste is absolutely fantastic. The other thing that I find interesting, some do this and some don't do this, make sure you check the back of the label or look at the card. If the wine distributor is doing a good job, they usually have a card describing the palate, the taste of the actual sparkling or the wine. And they're also talking about some pairings that you might want to think about as well. And so when we think about that, what are some of the things people should avoid, though? When they're talking about a sparkling or champagne, some food items that they may want to consider not bringing into that. Is there any, really?
You know, I don't think so. I think you can really run the gamut of a menu with sparkling wines. Sparkling wines can really get you through an entire meal. And in looking at the different styles and just pairing the styles so that you can have a Blanc de Blanc, which is the lighter one, move into a blended with a Pinot Noir and a Chardonnay, and then moving maybe to a sweet one. If you do want to experiment with sweet with dessert, you could do that as well. So kind of a nice flight of different styles and sweetness. You could do that within an entire meal or, you know, throughout a party.
Perfect. So once again, we're talking to Chef John Noor. We're going to take a break. I want to remind everybody, you can download all the things that we've been talking about, including the recipes of the two items that he featured. We'll talk a little about them in the next segment as well to remind you. I got a big dish of it right in front of me, too. The second thing, though, John, before I break real quick, is that we talk about the palate, and of course, New Year's Eve, typically a lot of people don't, red meat isn't typically on most people's. There's this... am I misapplying this? A lot of people say, you can't serve whites with red, so that means you can't serve champagnes with red. Is there a rule around that, or is that just kind of like a snobbish rule?
It's kind of the old rule, but it's not really, you don't need to follow that, you know, red with red and white with white. I mean, you can look for ones, and like you said, you know, you can find a really nice, you could do a rosé. If you're serving red meat, if you want to try to stay to the rule, you can actually serve the rosé with it.
Yeah.
That has some of the Pinot Noir grape in it. But those rules really don't apply anymore.
And that way you don't screw up the palate. So what we'll do is we'll take a break. We'll come right back. We'll talk champagne next. What we need to think about with champagne. Once again, thanks for joining us. We'll take a break and all next on New Hampshire Today, the weekend edition. And welcome back to New Hampshire Today, the weekend edition. Jeff Chittister with you, our favorite show. And you can tell the progression of the show, if you haven't noticed, that clearly I'm drinking more, so it makes me a lot more happier. And, of course, Chef John Noor comes in. It's our most popular show. But do not forget, you can go to jeffchittister.com, jeffchittister.com. Listen to the show again. But also, Chef John Noor was very gracious in not only providing us the menu, so the recipes are there, really easy recipes, and a buyer's guide. Not a buyer's guide necessarily, but an educational guide.
A fact sheet.
A fact sheet, yeah. Of going in there so you understand and study it before your friends come over and overwhelm them with your wine knowledge. So,
yeah, be a wine snob. Why
be
not?
Be a wine. Hello, snooty.
Are you allowed to drink on the air?
I think in judging the product, you are.
Oh, okay.
The FCC Fantastic. Will let me know, but I'm not drinking on the air. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So let's talk about first. Where do you want to go next, Chef John?
Because we're going to wind it up. Two more bottles that we want to talk about. Sure. Then we're going to go into kind of opening and pouring the champagne to kind of close out the show, because that's what you're going to be doing in a few days. So, and again, the traditional champagne is made in Champagne, France, in the region. If it's they still make sparkling wines in France, but if they're not made in that region, they're called Cremants. So you may see that on a label, a French label. That means it's made outside of the region of Champagne.
Right.
So, you know, just to get really specific with the French Champagne.
Sure.
So the one that you brought in for us is the Delamotte Brut. So it's, you know, a very traditional Champagne. Made in the Champagne region. Brut means, again, that it's a drier champagne. And the price point that you had on this was that if you're going, you know, for a nicer bottle, if it's a really special occasion, this is in that 40.
So it typically sells in the upper 40s. Yeah. Right now it's on sale, and it's going to be on sale for the rest of the month and part of next month. For roughly around $38, which is a really good, and it's one of my favorites. So when you think about it, yes, I have had Dom Perignon, yes, I have had Bollinger's, and I've had Tattinger's, I've had those finer levels, and frankly, and you and I are going to talk about this, it rivals them, and I think there's an overprice in some of these. What's the yellow labeled one? I always screw up the name.
Veuve Clicquot.
Veuve Clicquot, I like. Yeah. This one, I think, is better.
Yeah, you know, and when you get into that range, that $40 range, you're usually getting a really good bottle.
Yes.
You don't need to go to $100, $150.
No.
There's really no difference. You know, I hate to say that, but I enjoy the for special occasions, it's always.
There's a knock on the door right now. The Dom Perignon guys are going, you peasant! We spit on you. That's my worst French accent.
He actually did.
That's what the FCC will get mad at.
So, you know, if you're looking for a really special occasion, if you're getting engaged or celebrating an anniversary, there's no reason to spend that, you know, $150 for a bottle. Really, champagnes in that $40 range are fantastic.
Yes.
And it's you really aren't going to find something really bad in that. So, you know, don't save the money and do something else or buy a second bottle, because it's always important to have a second bottle.
That's the rule in your household, too.
Yeah.
Your sister says if you're
going
to buy one bottle, you got to have the second bottle.
You always have to have a second one just in case you need to open
it. I love your sister. Never met her, love her. All right, so let's talk about the other one. So this next one we're going to talk about is my favorite. And so the Gruet, it's made from a winery in New Mexico.
Yep.
It runs roughly
in
New Mexico. It's actually a really good region to grow grapes. It's a Chardonnay Pinot Noir blend. It is one of the best champagne style American wines you're ever going to get. In fact, if you blind taste this against most of your higher end, the last bottle we mentioned, or even the 40 plus bottles, you're going to find people are going to gravitate towards this almost immediately. Great bubble texture. I mean, the bubbles are fantastic when they pour.
And that's, you know, again, it's made the method champenoise, or the traditional method that we want to look for on the bottle, which means that the quality was built in the production of the champagne. So
nice.
You're going to get the bubbles, you're going to get the long-lasting bubbles, you're going to get the small bubbles, which is really important. I mean, when you're drinking champagne, you want to enjoy it, and that's part of the enjoyment
yes.
of it. So, and this is really cool because, you know, New Mexico, it's a great talking point. It's like, you know, wow, you've got Mexico. Champagne from New Mexico.
and that was, you know, and when my brother first kind of introduced this to me, I was like, New Mexico, okay, right. Yeah. I've never heard of it. And then I just love it. I mean, this is what I buy regardless of the occasion. Even if it's a nice occasion, I buy this every time, and I give it out as gifts as well. So that is just an alternative. If you don't want to go to the $40 range, yep. but you still want a really good champagne style,
yep.
the Gruet is very good. They make three different variations of their Gruet. You know, the typical Gruet Brut is perfect.
Yeah, and this, like you said, it's the blend. It's got the 75% Chardonnay, 25% Pinot Noir,
yes.
which is kind of a very traditional champagne
Absolutely.
Style. So, you
good
know,
region.
It's a really good... option. And what was the price on that?
So $14.
Oh, 14. Wow.
$14.
Wow.
I mean,
really,
and I'm going to tell you, you people will not believe that you spent $14 on it. It's such a great price
wow.
mark. All right. So John, how do I open this up? If I'm not going to slam this bottle up against a ship, what am I going to do with this bottle?
And if you do that, you get a cheap one.
Yeah. cheap bottle or cheap ship? It sunk.
So the most important thing about champagne, there's all different serving temperatures for wine. Colder, the better for champagne.
Yes.
Because what it does, it reduces the loss of gas. And so it keeps those bubbles, you know, and it keeps the bubbles going for a lot longer. You don't want to serve this kind of cool.
Right.
It's got to be cold.
Really cold.
So
temperature,
you know,
again?
You know, 35.
Nice.
You know, 40. But you don't want to get to 45, which is kind of yeah. where you serve white wines. You want to stay under 40 with these. So a nice cold
Yeah. Say it like
bottle.
James Bond, though.
How does he say it?
I don't know. You had to watch Goldfinger. He has a really good part of champagne.
So a couple things. You know, first, you know, have it in the refrigerator. At least 24 hours to get it nice and cold, or in ice for a few hours to really chill it down. And then what you want to do when you're opening it, all of them have cages on them, at least the good ones. Some of the Proseccos actually have twist tops.
Yes.
And that's okay. I mean, because we talked about what you use Proseccos for. But you want to remove the cage. But once you remove the cage, you got to be careful.
Right.
Because now you're under pressure. So you want to have a towel ready, kind of a kitchen towel or napkin that you can put over top of that
right.
when you remove the cage. And you don't want to – what you want to do is hold the bottle and twist – hold the cork and twist the bottle. And you don't want to point it and shoot it out.
No.
You want to remove it. You almost don't want to have a sound. I mean, and that means you're opening the bottle
under control,
correctly.
Too. Right.
Yeah, it's under control. And you do that. And when you're ready to pour it, what you want to do is you don't want to dump it into where you get the head or the mousse
no.
On there. You want to tilt the glass and slowly pour it in and fill the glass. You want to use the flutes, the taller, skinny ones. Old time, we used to use the saucers.
Yeah, no.
That releases a lot of the bubbles. The flutes kind of keep the gas
contained,
trapped
yes.
Within that. So you want to use a nice flute. You want to make sure it's clean. You don't want any soap residue or anything like that. That's going to destroy the bubbles in the champagne as well.
And Chef John, you want to leave, you should probably, do you want to let the bottle stay open for just a couple minutes just to breathe a little bit before you pour, or
no,
what do you want to do?
You
okay.
can pour right away with champagne. That's
oh,
a
perfect.
Good thing.
But
yeah,
just be careful not to just dump it in there, because
yeah,
that's you when you get the mousse.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
That's what it's called.
Arc-a-dark-a-dark. So that was a bad joke. So that, good pouring technique. What about storing?
Don't in the refrigerator.
Drink.
No, you can actually store these standing up in a refrigerator. They don't have to be on their side, but they can be on their side. You know, once they're in a refrigerator, they can be you know, standing up. You know, we want to our still wines. We want to store on their side.
Sure.
Champagnes are okay. Storm standing up if that's what you have room for.
Perfect.
Just make sure they're nice and cold, and Make sure you have that second bottle.
Hey, believe it or not, I know what you're all thinking, that how can they talk about wines for an hour? We did it very well, and I know you were very entertained. Chef John North, thank you for coming in.
Welcome. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year as well. All of the information that we talked about during the show is going to be up, including pictures of the champagnes and sparkling wines that we talked about. So if you're visually in tune to want to go ahead and just go to those bottles, there you go. He thought I was going to say something different, but we want to do that. Have a really great New Year's, folks. Next year, we're going to talk about the top 10 stories of the year. Get to them very quickly. I'll see if I need champagne for that one. And we'll do that all next week on New Hampshire Today, the weekend edition. And do not forget LFOD.
My summer wine is really made from all these things.
I walk in town on silver spurs. That jingle too.